The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network. Want to remind you to subscribe to Inside College Basketball Now on both Apple and Spotify. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want you to like and subscribe to Inside College Basketball Now on YouTube. And in addition to the like button, hit the hype button on YouTube to help us spread the palpable buzz that is needed to spread the word on Inside College Basketball Now from coast to coast like butter and toast. And in addition to today's show on CBS Sports Network right now at 1 o'clock, Inside College Basketball Now will be bringing you additional episodes each and every week featuring exclusive interviews with the biggest and the best names in the sport. My guest on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern will be Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd. And that goes in line, obviously, with our offseason breakdown series, and we're going to get into our Big 12 offseason breakdown here in just a couple of minutes. But I was thinking over the weekend as I saw different people making plans socially about different sporting events, and it felt like everybody was really galvanized in this country by the World Cup. And I'm not a big fan of other sports. If you follow me here, if you follow me on other platforms, you know that, you embrace that. Some of you by now might understand that, but it got me thinking, now that that event is over and done with, we are officially in foreign tour season for college basketball. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about this show, and I got to thinking about what lies ahead. And there are so many different things that go through the mind of a broadcaster or an on-air talent when they are starting their career and they are going on the innocent climb, as Pat Riley calls it in his book, The Winner Within. People want to get certain assignments. People want to achieve a certain level of respect and build a certain level of credibility. But after you do this 20 years, after you do this long enough, where you hopefully accomplish some of the things you dream to accomplish, at the end of the day, going to the practice, talking about the lineup, looking at forecasting a conference for the year ahead is what makes things really, really exciting. And I think back to the movie Heat, circa 1995, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Val Kilmer, one of my top 10 favorite movies. There's a scene in the movie where Tom Sizemore says to Al Pacino, "For me, the action is the juice." And I was watching it over the weekend, and I was thinking about it. That sums up me right now at this phase of life. For me, the action is the juice. The action is planning these rundowns for these shows. The action is preparing for these interviews on Inside College Basketball Now. The action is being at the game, being at the practice, and seeing the next observation about a lineup or about a wrinkle. The action is the juice. And that's why now, we go to three big things on the Big 12. And the first big thing, as we get started looking ahead as part of our Big 12 offseason breakdown, the Big 12 has had a massive, massive talent drain from last season. And last season was an exceptional one for the Big 12, which has been unequivocally one of the best conferences in college basketball over the last couple of years and many years before that. But let's look at last season for the Big 12. There were 9 first-round picks from this conference in the 2026 NBA draft. And when you look at returning personnel to the league this year, I went over it over the weekend with a fine-tooth comb. There is only a scenario where one team, TCU, returns over 50% of its scoring from last year. Iowa State is second at just over 37. You see Colorado chipping in at 34. And down the list we go. Not pictured, Utah and Cincinnati Bearcats don't return any percentage of scoring from last year under Wes Miller. Jared Calhoun taking over at Cincinnati now. I'll get to Cincinnati later in the show. But you see there on this graphic, those are the only players, JT Toppin, Rob Wright, Barrington Hargis from Colorado, and Jordan Burks, who was at UCF last season and has transferred to Oklahoma State. Those are the only players among the top 30 scorers from last year in the Big 12 that are returning to the conference this year. And keep in mind, JT Toppin suffered a torn ACL in February. Texas Tech has put out a video that they anticipate that JT Toppin will be available to play in the 26-27 season. And that's what they should be putting out, because now we have this age-based eligibility model, aka 5-5, where players are not going to be able to redshirt. But we don't know when JT Toppin is going to return. But he is one, again, of just 4 players, BYU's Rob Wright, Barrington Hargis from Colorado, and Jordan Burks, who transferred from UCF to Oklahoma State, who are back in the conference this year. The talent drain in the Big 12 is real. Now, last year, you had 8 teams in the NCAA tournament in a 68-team bracket. This year, in my opinion, the Big 12 should accept nothing less than 10 bids in the field in 2027. But the bracket, to me, is also going to provide a great opportunity for a number of teams that were not in the NCAA tournament a year ago to make a push towards March Madness in 2027. And that brings me to my second big thing right now on the Big 12. The Big 12 has no clear-cut favorite in 26-27. Now, by default, I'm going to put certain teams above the others because I am going to obviously be in a situation where I'm going to respect their history and their tradition. Now, with that said, you have to look at Arizona as a team that's going to return 2 of the best players in the conference in Mo Krivosh and Ivan Karchenkov. Arizona, and I'm going to get to my power rankings coming up, is a team that has bona fide returning personnel. But Arizona did also lose the Big 12 Player of the Year in Jaden Bradley, Braden Burries, Koa Pete, Anthony Del Orso, Toby Awaka, the best 6th man in college basketball. Houston is a team that is always going to be expected to be one of the best in the sport under Kelvin Sampson. Think about what Houston lost last year after last year. Milos Yuzan, Kingston Flemings, Chris Sinak, Emmanuel Sharp. What about Iowa State? Iowa State's become one of the most consistent programs in college basketball under T.J. Otzelberger. But Iowa State, again, lost Taman Lipsey, lost Joshua Jefferson, and lost Milan Momcilovic, who transferred to Kentucky. You see right there the list of Big 12 first-round picks from the 2026 NBA draft. And then you go down the line and you look at other teams that could be in the mix vying for these opportunities. I don't see teams again in the Big 12 that are going to enter next season with the same type of star power as they had a year ago. I think we're giving teams at the top the benefit of the doubt. But I think if you are a team that has been trying to crack the top seven or eight of the conference, now you have a greater opportunity to make a leap because we are not seeing the same level of talent at the top of the conference that we saw a year ago. If you're a team like Oklahoma State with Steve Lutz, did real nice work in the transfer portal, you have a chance to make a jump. If you are a team like West Virginia under Ross Hodge, you got a real nice chance to make a jump. If you are a team as well that is going to be led by a new steward, either Randy Bennett at Arizona State, who won a million games a year at St. Mary's, or Jared Calhoun at Cincinnati, who led the Utah State to back-to-back NCAA tournaments, there is an easier mountain to climb than there was a year ago in the Big 12 because we have nothing but questions, in my opinion, at the top. There's really good returning personnel at Arizona. There is a culture of consistency, toughness, resiliency at Houston. But make no mistake about it, Joseph Tugler is back for Houston. Other than him, Houston is going to need its returning players of significance, Chase McCarty, Mercy Miller, to take significant steps forward to be in a situation where they are going to be near the level we saw the last couple of years. Houston, again, has been a fixture in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. We have been now on the air for almost 10 minutes, and we have not mentioned the flagship program of the Big 12, even if they haven't been to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament since they won the national championship in 2022, and that's the Kansas Jayhawks. And the third big thing surrounding the Big 12 in this Big 12 offseason breakdown here at Inside College Basketball Now is that Kansas will go as far as its two marquee freshmen, Talen Kinney and Tyron Stokes, will take them. And that's just a fact of life. And I have talked ad nauseum on this platform about how really only the two programs in college basketball right now that are acting in true blue blood form are Duke and UConn. Kansas is a perfect example of that. Because I mentioned, Kansas has not been to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament since 2022. And if you look at the chemical makeup of this Kansas team, Kansas is going to be as good as Stokes and Kinney are in 26-27. Look at the rest of this roster. Talking to the Jayhawk staff, they are very high on Toledo transfer Leroy Blyden having a big-time role. Also, you have to expect Keanu Dawes from Utah to play a major role in the front court. The five spot looks to be a combination of Paul Mbia and also Christian Reeves. But this is Kansas. And this is a program last season that had Darren Peterson and Flory Badunga, who has since transferred to Louisville. And that team did not make it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. That team lost to St. John's in the round of 32. And I thought last year that Bill Self did a tremendous coaching job considering the fact that Kansas had two teams, one with Darren Peterson, one without Darren Peterson. There was nothing consistent about Kansas last season. But this Kansas team, this season, a team that is going to likely start two true freshmen, Talen Kinney and Tyron Stokes, have an unproven player at the power conference level at the five, and then have Leroy Blyden and Keanu Dawes, this Kansas team, to me, is not nearly as talented as the one we saw a year ago, the team a year ago that also had veteran players around Peterson and Bandunga, like Trey White, like Melvin Council. Kansas, again, to me, at least on paper, does not look like it is going to be one of the top teams in the Big 12. I talked about Arizona and Houston. I like Arizona's returning nucleus. Obviously a great freshman class headlined by Caleb Holt. I like the culture in place at Iowa State with Torre and Bateman back in the backcourt. But who's after that at the top after Arizona, Houston, and Iowa State? I will break down my Big 12 preseason power rankings when we return. John Rothstein here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network.
A lot has changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store 35 years ago. Car phones have become cell phones, grunge band hits have become oldies, and you can order furniture online. But what hasn't changed is the way they do business, aka the Bob's way. Doing things the Bob's way means that when I shop at Bob's, I know I'll find the latest top-rated styles like the Aspen sofa for just $399, bedrooms with storage and charging, Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and more. All at 90s-era prices. There's even no money down financing and lightning fast shipping, so you aren't stuck waiting months for your furniture to arrive. Plus, Bob's still makes furniture shopping fun with friendly associates and cafes full of free treats and ice cream. Want to see for yourself? Stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend to party it up like it's 1991 and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein here on CBS Sports Network. We will continue with our Big 12 off-season breakdown, and time now for my Big 12 preseason power rankings. We start with the team that went to the Final Four last season for the first time in a long time, the Arizona Wildcats. Really good returning nucleus in place for Tommy Lloyd. Ivan Karchenkov and Mo Krivish are back. Two preseason all Big 12 caliber players. Caleb Holt comes in as one of the best freshman prospects in college basketball. Also, Derek Dixon, a transfer from North Carolina, will assume point guard responsibilities along with Washington transfer J.J. Mandiquit. Houston in the two spot. You have to respect Kelvin Sampson and Houston's program for what they've done in terms of being a perennial contender, not just in the Big 12, but also nationally. LSU point guard Dedon Thomas, a transfer from LSU, will assume the point guard responsibilities for the Cougars in 26-27. Prior to injury last season, he was playing at an all-SEC caliber level at LSU. There has been great departures at Iowa State of significance. Taman Lipsey, Joshua Jefferson, Milan Momcilovic, but TJ Otzelberger has built such a consistent program. I had this program in the NCAA tournament. I firmly believe that Killian Toure will be a star in college basketball in 26-27. Jamarian Bateman also back, as is Blake Buchanan for Iowa State in 26-27. Those three players were part of the team last year that went to the Sweet 16. Also keep an eye a Northwestern transfer, Trey Singleton. Think he will have a nice role for Iowa State. BYU is in the four spot, just slightly from my vantage point, ahead of TCU. BYU returns, in my opinion, a guy who I think is going to be like a rocket ship this season, Rob Wright. No A.J. DeBanza, no Richie Saunders. Wright takes the baton in Provo. He will be joined by Kentucky transfer Colin Chandler in the backcourt for BYU, who also bring in another talented freshman, not nearly coming to Provo with the pedigree of A.J. DeBanza, but Bruce Branch, another highly touted prospect. BYU should be, again, an NCAA tournament team for the third straight year under Kevin Young. In the five spot, the grizzle, the experience, the toughness of TCU, a team that won an NCAA tournament game last March against Ohio State, lost to Duke in the round of 32. Brock Harding, Tanner Toulson, Micah Robinson, Xavier Edmonds, all back from that team. Again, TCU, the only program in the Big 12 to return over 50% of its scoring from a year ago. I have Kansas, who I talked about earlier in the show, in the sixth spot in my Big 12 preseason power rankings. That team is going to lean heavily on Talen Kinney and Tyron Stokes. Kansas in the sixth spot. You see right there my projected starting five. Leroy Blyden Jr. by way of Toledo. Keanu Dawes, a transfer from Utah, somebody again that's projected to have a major role, and then Paul Mbia, who I thought had some nice moments last year in the NCAA tournament. Oklahoma State and Steve Lutz I have in the seventh spot in the Big 12 preseason power rankings. Interesting lineup right there for Lutz and company. Kanye Clary is back, who has played at a couple different places prior to Oklahoma State. Luka Bogovats comes over from North Carolina. Jordan Burks, who made some big shots for UCF in an NCAA tournament game against UCLA, will man the wing. And then you have Julius Haleifanua from Georgetown. So Steve Lutz adding multiple players with power conference experience. Latrell Almond also in the mix. West Virginia, a team that has gotten a major talent inflection and insertion under Ross Hodge in year two, going to make a push for all intents and purposes here, in my opinion, in the Big 12. Miles Sadler, again, if you don't know the name right now, he will be, in my opinion, one of the best freshmen in the Big 12 and in the country. Finley Bizjack from Butler, Jozan Sannin from St. John's, that's a pretty good backcourt. Javon Buchanan is going to need an NCAA waiver to be eligible for West Virginia next year. And then Mo Sila from Georgia Tech, that's a nice lineup right there, in my opinion, for West Virginia. I have Texas Tech in the 9 spot. Texas Tech, again, at some point is going to get JT Toppin back. We don't know when. Coming off an ACL injury, that could trickle into 2027. You see the projected lineup as of now. A lot of transfers on the perimeter. Dre Gibbs Lawhorn from UNLV, Cruz Davis from Hofstra, Demarion Dennis, Josiah Mosley could have a breakout year. So Texas Tech, this lineup at some point before the end of the year will feature JT Toppin, somebody who was putting up first-team All-American caliber numbers before he was in a situation where he was lost for the year with a torn ACL. I have Baylor 10th. Baylor did not play in the NCAA tournament last year despite having Cam Carr, despite having Tunde Yesufu, who transferred to St. John's. The Mingo brothers coming along with Brett Decker from Liberty. And you can see up front Isaac Seliskar from Yale and Jocelyn Bodobodu, who was an anchor for High Point a couple years ago on a team that played in the NCAA tournament. He's in a situation where he will have to have a major role for Baylor to get back to being an NCAA tournament team. Arizona State, I have in the 11th spot, year one under Randy Bennett. You can see two of those starters, Paulus Morauskas and Dylan Shaw, played for Bennett last year on a team that was at St. Mary's that went to the NCAA tournament. Emmanuel Inochinte from Gonzaga, Joe Foxwell from Portland, two players who played against Bennett in the West Coast Conference at Portland and Gonzaga, respectively. Ben Defty, another big physical presence by way of Boston University. Want to get to the team right now and spend a little time on Cincinnati, who I have projected in the 12th spot right now. Now, Cincinnati is a team that is like a number of teams in college basketball that is holding out hope that these court injunctions are going to hold up until November 1st when the season starts and some of these players that are campaigning for a fifth year of eligibility, even though they've exhausted their eligibility, are going to be eligible for the 26-27 season. One of those players for Cincinnati is MJ Collins. MJ Collins was a vital part of the run that Utah State had last year in the Mountain West Conference. But Cincinnati is a program that is starting a new dawn under Jared Calhoun. And this is a program you have to remember that has not been in the NCAA tournament since the 18-19 season, which was Mick Cronin's final year at Cincinnati before he took the UCLA job. Now, I will say this. John Brannan and Wes Miller were the two coaches since that 18-19 season, and Cincinnati has not really been close to March Madness consistently since Mick Cronin left for UCLA. John Brannan would have had Cincinnati, I think, in the NCAA tournament the year after Mick Cronin went to UCLA when he had Jaron Cumberland and Keith Williams and Trey Scott. But Cincinnati, let's face it, has been mostly irrelevant for the last 7 seasons. And Cincinnati fans were convinced that their fortunes would change instantly when there was a coaching change in 2019. Gotta remember, this program was part of a select few, a special group from 2011 to 2019 that played in the NCAA tournament in 9 consecutive seasons. The Bearcats have not sniffed Selection Sunday in 7 years. And now you have to look at Cincinnati as being a program a proud program, as we saw both under Mick Cronin and Bob Huggins, that was a regular participant in the NCAA tournament. They are now a program that is going through one of the great March Madness droughts in college basketball. Their fans always think they're going to be better during the season that's on the horizon. Jared Calhoun, who is a brilliant offensive coach, who did a great job at Utah State, he's campaigning for more. I hear from him all the time. Why aren't we in the Rothstein 45? Why aren't we getting more respect? Why aren't we getting more attention? This, to me, is a match made in heaven. Because the DNA, not necessarily the coaching style, but the DNA of Jared Calhoun being a fighter, somebody who's going to push and fight windmills every single day, to me, DNA-wise, much resembles that of Mick Cronin and Bob Huggins, guys that he worked with and worked for before he became a very successful Division I coach. But I look at Cincinnati's roster, and obviously that will change if MJ Collins is eligible, but I look at Cincinnati's roster, and I see a roster, to me, that's hard to give the benefit of the doubt to over a program that's coached by Grant McCasland, or over a program that's coached by Scott Drew, or over a program like Arizona State that's coached by Randy Bennett, who has a player like Paulus Morauskas, who's one of the top interior players in the portal. Cincinnati fans always want to win on social media. Cincinnati fans always want to make their case, and then reality hits when the games start. I told you what was going to happen 7 years ago, and I'm telling you now, I got to take a wait-and-see approach as to whether or not this team will be good enough to make the NCAA tournament in 2027. But I'll tell you this much. If the NCAA tournament is 76 teams in 2027, you better make it if you're Cincinnati, because you are now on a drought that is over 7 years. And I've said this to Jared Calhoun when I've seen him on the road in July. Save me a seat at practice at Fifth Third Arena, because I'm going to be there in September or October, and I'm going to take inventory. Sooner or later, you're going to have to lace him up. Sooner or later, we are going to find out if this rendition of Cincinnati basketball is going to be different than the ones we saw the past 7 years. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because I am not somebody who hides from this. I just gave you my 2 cents, and if you hold up your end of the bargain, Cincinnati and Jared Calhoun, I'm going to give you more than 2 cents. There is a Grater's Ice Cream in Fountain Square in downtown Cincinnati, and if Cincinnati makes the NCAA tournament in 2027, prior to the 27-28 season, I am going to fly to Cincinnati, and I'm going to put my credit card down at that Grater's Ice Cream in Fountain Square, and I'm buying ice cream for all Bearcats fans in downtown Cincinnati for 1 hour to celebrate this achievement. Because now there's nowhere to run. Now I'm invested, just like you have been invested. And I told you what was going to happen 7 years ago. And I am one that believes that this program under Jared Calhoun will be different moving forward. But the facts are the facts. Cincinnati has been mostly nationally irrelevant for the last 7 years. Will that change in 26-27? This is only July. The rest of the Big 12 preseason power rankings. UCF is 13, Colorado 14, Kansas State at 15, and Utah at 16. I will give you my preseason Big 12 awards when we return. John Rothstein here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 40% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network with John Rothstein. We continue with our Big 12 offseason breakdown with my Big 12 preseason awards. And we are going to start with my all-Big 12 preseason first team. And list of five, as always, I am not somebody who goes with more than five players. Mo Krivosh anchoring the team. JT Toppin getting the spot on my all-Big 12 preseason first team. Let's remember, Toppin was averaging about 21-11 before going down with an ACL injury. There's still no set timetable for a return. Ivan Karchenkov also in there from Arizona. Tyron Stokes from Kansas. Then Rob Wright III from BYU. And time now for my Big 12 preseason player of the year. I am going with Rob Wright. Rob Wright, to me, is the guy from BYU who deserves this accolade. He was sensational statistically last year, playing off Richie Saunders, playing off A.J. DeBanza. He's older, he's more seasoned, he's more grizzled. Now, all of a sudden, he takes the baton. Rob Wright will start the 26-27 season as a preseason All-American, and he has a chance, again, to have a terrific season under Kevin Young with BYU, with Colin Chandler on a wing, with Bruce Branch on a wing. Time now, in my opinion, to spice things up a little bit, because I always love to spice things up, and I'm going to talk about my preseason Big 12 sleeper, and I'm going to Morgantown for West Virginia, because I think year two for Ross Hodge at West Virginia is going to be a really, really big year. I love what this program has done from a perimeter perspective. Miles Sadler will be one of the better and more productive freshmen in the country. Jozon Sanin on a wing. Finley Bizjack on a wing. Those are two transfers from the Big East who have logged meaningful minutes and can score the ball. Silla is a player from Georgia Tech. Mo Silla, who again was highly thought of out of high school. He'll be, in my opinion, one of the better post players in the Big 12. And again, we'll see what happens with Javon Buchanan and an NCAA waiver. But there is enough right now in year two on the roster in West Virginia for a sizable jump for West Virginia under Ross Hodge. Time now to look at some impact freshmen for the Big 12 in 26-27. Once again, these are in no particular order, but here's a list of 10 that you want to keep your eyes on as you're getting ready for next season. Tyron Stokes and Talon Kinney from Kansas, Caleb Holt and Cam Holmes from Arizona, Bruce Branch at BYU, Dylan Mingo at Baylor, Miles Sadler from West Virginia, Dakari Spear at Texas Tech, Arafon Dion from Houston, and Latrell Almond from Oklahoma State. And again, you can see at the bottom, due to the inconsistencies with NCAA eligibility, foreign players are not included on this list. Now let's take a look at some of my breakout guys for the Big 12 in 26-27. Again, another disclaimer, and you can see it right there. A player, in my opinion, is not eligible to be a breakout guy if he has previously averaged in double figures. Five guys up right there on the board. Killian Torrey at Iowa State, who again you could see during the NCAA tournament last year was ready to explode like a volcano. I think he's going to have a huge season for TJ Otzelberger. Paul Mbia at Kansas, again, the guy I'm expecting to be Kansas' starting big man in the pivot. Two guys there at Houston are listed because there are major minutes to be picked up after losing Uzan Flemings and also Emmanuel Sharp in the perimeter. Chase McCarty and also, obviously, Mercy Miller are going to be big-time guys and critical guys for Houston. And then Josiah Mosley at Texas Tech. That could be a key player for the Red Raiders as they try to bridge things in November and December until they get JT Toppin back. Want to hear from you and get your thoughts on the Big 12. What are your burning questions entering this conference in 26-27? I will get to your questions when we return. John Rothstein here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network. All All right, John Rothstein back here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network. We want to remind you to subscribe to Inside College Basketball Now on both Apple and Spotify. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And in addition to the like button on YouTube, which I want you to subscribe to, in addition to obviously subscribing on Apple and Spotify, I want you to hit the hype button on YouTube to spread the palpable buzz needed for Inside College Basketball Now from coast to coast like butter and toast. We need an army with us for each and every show here on Inside College Basketball Now, and we need you to be all you can be. And in addition to these Monday shows featuring these off-season breakdowns for all the biggest conferences in college basketball, Inside College Basketball Now, we will be bringing you additional episodes each and every week featuring exclusive interviews with some of the biggest and best names in the sport. On Tuesday, in alignment with this Big 12 offseason breakdown, I will talk to Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd. Check social media and YouTube for that about 10 a.m. Eastern. But time now to hear from you, the fan, as we get set for our social media portion of the show. Send me your Big 12-related questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. First question, please. This comes from Demarian Thibodeau and says, John, have the Iowa State Cyclones constructed a roster and non-conference schedule to continue the run of consistency and earn a quality seed in the NCAA tournament? Well, I will say this. Iowa State is now one of those programs that, regardless of personnel, you think that they're going to have a chance to be a single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament because of T.J. Otzelberger and the job that he has done at Iowa State. I look right now at the body of work for Iowa State, and you look at what they've done from a five-year perspective. 2022, Iowa State goes to the Sweet 16 under T.J. Otzelberger. Then you look at 2023, quality seed in the NCAA tournament, run into a very, very hot Pitt team at the time, lose that game. But you obviously did nicely enough to get a quality seed in the NCAA tournament. 2024, Sweet 16, lose to Illinois. 2025, you get a quality seed in the NCAA tournament. You lose to an Ole Miss team that's playing great basketball. And then last year, you win multiple NCAA tournament games without Joshua Jefferson, your best player, lose to Tennessee in the Sweet 16. So I expect Iowa State, as long as T.J. Otzelberger is the coach, to be a single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament. Next question, please. Pebbles wants to know, John, where would you rank Oklahoma State in the Big 12 with Parsifal back? What's their ceiling? Well, I'm just going to say this right now, and I want to make this clear. I am not going to put players who are eligible through an injunction as a projected player eligible for the start of the season unless something changes with the NCAA's eligibility plan. If that happens and players are brought back to a certain team, and that happens at the start of the season, and universally I have to alter and tweak all of my rankings, then I will do a show on November 2nd, the first Monday of the season, where I will give you my brand new 45. I'm not doing it, though, up until that happens, and I'll tell you why. The NCAA is now coming out with statements, not within hours, but within minutes of these injunctions being granted. They are making it very, very clear that they are going to fight these rulings. And another thing you have to keep in mind, just because these injunctions are obviously granted, that doesn't mean that these players are going to be academically ineligible to return to school. If this does hold up, though, and all of these players do get a fifth year, you might as well get a big bonfire going somewhere and put the NCAA rulebook in the middle of it. Next question, please. The Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. Will this be Bill Self's swan song season? It's a great question. Bill Self has said on this show, he said this during last season, that as long as Kansas is legitimately really good, he wants to continue to coach. I think there's obviously been a lot of smoke around this one because the program has dipped over the last couple of years. It will be interesting to see with a team, again, that is going to be very dependent on two freshmen, how Kansas does. Because here's the bottom line. If Kansas did not have Kansas painted across the front of its jersey, and if it was not coached by Bill Self, it would not resemble a program okay, like Kansas. I think about where this has gone for Kansas the last couple of years, and it's gone to a program again that is just trying to piece things together through the transfer portal, despite obviously being able to get some really good high school players in the mix. Next question, please. Wild West, how great will Arizona's man-to-man defense be this coming season? Look, Karchenkov's one of the great defensive players in the sport. Krivosh is an incredible protector at the front of the rim. Could be right there again with Ruben Chinyilu to be the National Defensive Player of the Year. There's going to be, though, a couple of players, at least right now, in that lineup, Caleb Holt, Cameron Holmes, who are going to be first-year players learning college basketball. There's going to be a guy, Derek Dixon, coming from North Carolina, who is very steady on offense, but somebody, again, who needs to prove that he's going to be able to deal with the athletes at point guard in the Big 12. That's going to be interesting. A lot of things interesting right now. Last question. Let's take it. MaxPoker247 says, John, of the teams ranked in the top six of the league preseason, who do you think is most likely to implode and either miss the tournament or barely sneak in? Well, I don't have an answer for that just yet, but I will say this. Missing the NCAA tournament right now, if you are a power conference team, in my opinion, is catastrophic because there's 76 teams in the NCAA tournament. Now, somebody says, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you. Well, think about this from a math perspective. We are all gearing right now towards a world that is associated with the term Power Four. It is the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, and the SEC. So if there's 76 spots in the NCAA tournament and the new Pac-12 is going to take an automatic qualifier, that means that we now have 32 automatic qualifiers and we have 44 at-large bids. So if all four of the power conferences were to get 10 teams in the NCAA tournament and have 9 at-large bids apiece with those four, there's still 8 at-large bids left to get to 44. So if you are a power conference coach and you don't hear your name on Selection Sunday, that to me is something that would be really, really alarming. And here's the thing as well. I don't see the ACC getting 10 teams in. Let's say the ACC got 7 or 8 teams in. Now you're looking at 10 other spots for the at-large bids to come from. Let's say the Atlantic 10 gets 1. Let's say the Big East gets 5 teams in. There's still 3 or 4 spots to be had. It is going to be fascinating to see where the NCAA bids come from in 2027 in a 76-team NCAA tournament format. We'll put a bow on this show when we return. John Rothstein here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network. All right, John Rothstein back here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network. Again, a reminder, Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd will be my guest on Inside College Basketball Now on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Again, this is going to align with our Big 12 offseason breakdown. And again, in addition to all of the breakdowns you're getting each and every week, like the Tommy Lloyd interview, I'm going to have exclusive interviews with some of the biggest and best names in the sport in addition to these offseason breakdowns. Want to, again, kindly ask you to subscribe to Inside College Basketball Now on both Apple and Spotify. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also like and subscribe to Inside College Basketball Now on YouTube. And in addition to the like button, hit the hype button so we can spread that palpable buzz needed for Inside College Basketball Now from coast to coast like butter and toast. So big picture thoughts now from my opinion on the Big 12 in 26-27. 8 bid league a year ago, 76 team NCAA tournament in 2027, have to be a 10 bid league if you are the Big 12 in 2027, and if you're Brett Yormark in the league office, you got to shoot for 10 bids. As far as the league goes, the Big 12 is always going to be a great basketball conference, but the talent drain in this conference is real. As I talked about earlier in the show, 9 first-round picks from the Big 12 out of 30 in 2026. As I talked about earlier in the show, of the top 30 scorers from last season in the Big 12, only four are back in the conference this season. Rob Wright from BYU, JT Toppin at Texas Tech, who is coming off an ACL injury. We don't know when he will be back. Barrington Hargreaves at Colorado, and Jordan Burks, who played last season at UCF on an NCAA tournament team and has since transferred to Oklahoma State. So the window is open for programs to climb the standings. I also want to talk about a team that I think has been set up to again have a great season under Jamie Dixon. That's TCU. In this landscape of college sports, teams that have a high percentage of returning scoring and have a lot of players back are going to hit the ground running and have a much easier transitional process when they start a new season. I look at TCU, Brock Harding's back, Tanner Toulson's back, Micah Robinson's back, Xavier Edmonds is back. I know that TCU lost David Punch to Texas via the transfer portal, but there's a lot here again to be a really, really good basketball team. And again, if you're looking at the way the power rankings are structured, Arizona and Houston are teams that I looked at personnel-wise and I felt deserved the benefit of the doubt for what they've done. And Arizona returning Krivosh and Karchenkov to me put them over the top to be the preseason top team in this league. Houston, because of Kelvin Sampson, was a team, again, that you tip your cap to. And they have, obviously, role players who are back. But after that, Iowa State has guards back under T.J. Otzelberger, but they are a shell of themselves from where they were talent-wise a year ago, losing Lipsy, Jefferson, and Momcilovic. The four spot, I have BYU because Rob Wright's back, and he's my preseason player of the year. But that is a BYU team that lost A.J. DeBanza and Richie Saunders and Kay Bakeda. If you told me that the teams I have in the Big 12 who were picked 4, 5, 6 finished 2, 3, 4, I probably wouldn't be that shocked because I think this is going to be a league where teams who have been off the radar can quickly become on the radar and make a massive jump because of the talent drain that has happened in this conference. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, to continue with our off-season breakdown series. I'll be back with you Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. when I chat with Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd. John Rothstein here on Inside College Basketball Now on CBS Sports Network.